When this, as it were, dawns, the deceased person wakes up, as it were, in a subtle body, not a gross physical body, a subtle body. We are told that he or she can see their own corpse, can hear their relations weeping. And at this stage, or in this stage, the deceased person does not know that he is dead. They have to be told this by the Lama, who is still sitting by the corpse. Told, now you are dead. You've left the physical body. You've left this life. You've left your relations, left your home. So don't be attached. Forget all about it. You can't come back. You've left all these people, all these things for good. So put it all behind you. Just think of what is going to come, what is going to happen. And the deceased person should be assured by the Lama or the brother in the faith that liberation is still attainable. The dead person now experiences a whole series of visions, sort of archetypal dreamlike experiences. He sees, in Tibetan Buddhist terms, the 110 peaceful and wrathful deities. That is to say, various Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and their attendants. And these figures, these psycho-spiritual symbols, are the psycho-spiritual symbols of the Tibetan Book of the Dead, of our title. Psycho-spiritual because experienced mentally, psychically. And psycho-spiritual because their significance goes far beyond that of the ordinary conscious mind or even the personal unconscious. These various figures, these archetypes, of which he now has the vision, represent, we may say, descending degrees of reality. As they progress, one gets further and further away from reality. And the visions last for a space of 14 days. They're very rich, very colourful, and very complex. So there's no time to describe them in detail. There's no time even to enumerate them. But I would like just to touch upon what are known as the peaceful deities. These appear, one by one, with their entourages in the course of the first 7 days. On the first day, we are told, the whole heaven, the whole of space, in all directions, appears a very deep, rich, brilliant blue colour. The deceased person has this experience of nothing but an incredible blue luminosity all around, on all sides. Just like a tremendous depth of space, all blue, nothing but blueness, up and down, north, south, east and west, all incredibly deeply blue. And from the centre of this blueness, from the central region of this blueness, there appears the white Buddha, a white Buddha figure, known in Buddhism as Varochana, the illuminator, a brilliant, dazzling white, just like snow with the sunshine on it, seated on a throne supported by lions, holding a golden wheel, the golden Dharma Chakra, or wheel of the law, embraced by his consort, and symbolizing what is known as the wisdom of the Dharmadhatu, the wisdom of ultimate reality. Now here just one or two words of explanation are necessary. Buddhahood or enlightenment has got 5 aspects in which the unitary experience of enlightenment is, as it were, broken up into 5 individual aspects. And these are known as the 5 wisdoms, a very well-known set in Buddhism. And the 5 wisdoms are personified by the 5 Buddhas, of different colours, white, blue, yellow, red and so on. We shall, by the way, be studying these in greater detail next week. And next week, to help us study them, we shall also be having another of our chants. Now, from the heart of Varochana, the white Buddha, there issues a brilliant blue light. Brilliant and absolutely dazzling. And at this point, at this stage, the Lama, still sitting by the corpse, warns the deceased person not to be afraid. He says, this is the light of the wisdom of the Dharmadhatu, the wisdom of ultimate reality. So don't be afraid. This is ultimately innate in your own mind. But at the same time, there comes from the world of the gods within the wheel of life, striking against the deceased person, as it were, a dull white light. A sort of a dirty white light, if you like. The Deva world, the world of the gods, is of course one of the five or six states of sentient existence within the wheel of life, according to Buddhist cosmology. So at this point, at this stage, one can either follow the blue light, the brilliant blue light, back into the heart, as it were, of Vairochana, and in this way be liberated. Or one can follow the dull white light and be reborn in the world of the gods. So the Lama, still sitting by the corpse, still speaking, as it were, to the dead person, urges him to choose the former. Follow the blue light back into the heart of Vairochana. So thus passes the first day. And on the second day, a white light shines. All around there is an incredible, brilliant white radiance, that clear, transparent white light. And from the east there appears a deep blue, a dark blue Buddha. This is Akshobhya, the imperturbable, on a throne supported by elephants, embraced by his consort, attended by bodhisattvas, and with his consort and the bodhisattvas and so on, they all make up what is called a mandala, a circle of symbolic forms, about which again more next week. And from the heart of Akshobhya, the dark blue Buddha, there issues a pure, brilliant white light. This is the light of the mirror-like wisdom. But at the same time, from the lower worlds, the realms of suffering, there shines forth and strikes against the deceased person a dull, smoky-coloured light. And once again he must choose between the white light, the dull, smoky-coloured light. Either he is liberated in the realm of Akshobhya or reborn in a state of suffering. Then on the third day, a yellow Buddha appears. A bright yellow light shines from his heart. This is the wisdom of equality. While at the same time, from the human world, a dull, bluish, yellow light shines. And once again, the deceased person must choose. You see the same type of pattern repeating itself in different aspects and dimensions and levels, as it were. Always this question of choice. And on the fourth day, the red Buddha, a deep, brilliant, red-coloured Buddha dawns. This is Amitabha, the infinite light. And from his heart, a brilliant, red, ruby-coloured light goes forth, the light of the distinguishing wisdom. While from the Pretaloka, the world of ghosts, there comes forth, striking against the deceased person, a dull, red light. So once again he must choose between the brilliant red light and the dark red light. And here, incidentally, one can see the connection of this teaching, this tradition, the Tibetan Book of the Dead, with the Pure Land school of Buddhism, about which we heard last Sunday from the Reverend Jack Austin. Then on the fifth day appears the green Buddha, and from his heart a bright green light shoots forth, the light of the all-performing wisdom, while from the Asura Loka, the world of the Titans were warring with the gods, their streams forth, striking against the deceased person, a dull green light. And once again he has to choose between the two lights, the bright green and the dull green. On the sixth day, all the five Buddhas, with their consorts and families, as it were, appear simultaneously. All five wisdoms shine forth with their different coloured radiances, and from all five worlds of conditioned existence, their five coloured rays also shine forth. So there's still a chance of liberation, still the possibility of choice. If only, and this is the supreme, the great condition, one recognizes that all these forms, all these figures, all these archetypes, all these psycho-spiritual symbols are ultimately, in their ultimate essence, phenomena of one's own true mind. If one recognizes this, if one recognizes all these forms, figures, lights, colors, sounds, symbols, as phenomena ultimately of one's own true mind, then at any stage in the process one can be liberated. Now on the seventh day there appear what are known as the knowledge-holding deities. I'm not going to describe them. And from the eighth to the 14th days, what are called the wrathful deities. The appearance of the knowledge-holding deities and the wrathful deities indicates an increasing alienation on the part of the deceased person from reality. His mind, his consciousness, is, as it were, bouncing down to its natural level, just like a ball bouncing down a flight of steps. It can't sustain itself at the higher levels. The wrathful deities, by the way, are all reflexes, appearances of the peaceful deities. But as one becomes alienated from reality, alienated from the peaceful aspects, reality assumes, as it were, a wrathful aspect corresponding to the degree of your alienation. So it's increasingly difficult at these levels to recognize these wrathful, these terrific forms as phenomena of one's own mind, one's own consciousness. One is too overpowered, too terrified to be able to do so. And eventually, towards the end of these days, there is a sort of swirl of very terrible, monstrous, semi-animal forms. And here, contact with reality is practically lost. But even here, if by any chance, if still hearing the voice of the Lama, one remembers, one recognizes, all these things, all these visions, all these archetypal experiences, all these dreams are just phenomena of one's own true mind, then even at that moment, even at that point, one can be liberated. But if not, if one can't sustain even that level, then there follows the next bardo, the sixth bardo, which is the bardo of rebirth. The Siddhpa bardo,